Welcome everyone to the call, How to Raise Your Coaching Fees with Ease and Feel Great About It. Again, we are so excited to be doing this call to share our information, and I'm excited to interview the founder of our coaching company, Kim Addis, who's I've been able to watch over the years grow as a person, as a coach, and as a businesswoman, and it's been remarkable what she's done in helping to grow our business. And her experience, her own personal experience with raising her coaching fees has been absolutely tremendous, as you learned in the introductory invitation to this call. So she's going to share a lot of that. But just before I bring her on and start peppering her with questions and then taking yours, I want to do a couple of things here. Just brief housekeeping. We like to keep people close to the line. We're going to make this call interactive. We want to hear from you. We're going to take your questions. With that being said, we don't mute it out. Now, we've got a lot of people on the line. It's pretty quiet right now, which is super. So if you are in a space that there's going to be background noise, then either remove yourself from that space or press star 6. That will mute yourself. We appreciate that. We are recording this call, so we really want to keep it clean and respect everyone as well. So we appreciate you doing that. But definitely stay close to the line because we're going to stop often for questions. And by the way, because of the response, the overwhelming response, I would like to invite you to plan on 75 minutes. We got a lot of information. We're going to get to it as quickly as we can. But if we want to entertain the questions, it's going to take a little bit longer. So if you can plan for 75 minutes, that would be great. So with that being said, what I want to share is I know there's a lot of people with different backgrounds on the call, and I got a lot of emails with some questions around whether or not this is right for them based on where they're at in their business. So let us be really clear that you are in the right place, A, if you're a brand new coach, if you're just starting out. And by the way, if you're just starting out, you do not have to start by pricing your coaching services at the low end. You do not have to do that. And this call will really, really benefit you in that capacity. So we're going to hit on that. You're in the right place if you're not happy with your current income or you need to make more money right now. And you can do that by increasing your coaching fees, which we're going to get into in depth, obviously. You're in the right place if you're an experienced coach that is just totally frustrated because you know you're undercharging but haven't felt comfortable, for whatever reason, making a quantum leap or a leap in any sense of the word in your pricing. We're going to talk about exactly how to do that. And you're in the right place, finally, if you want to make more money without doing a ton of additional work or, as I like to say, mastering the marketing game. And we've done a lot of teleseminars around different marketing aspects, and we know how frustrating it is from experience, and we know how frustrated you all are with respect to the marketing side of this business, trying to figure out and master social media and navigating search engine optimization and figuring out teleseminars and product and e-courses and all the things that we potentially can do to drive business. Well, if we just increased our fees and increased our margins as a result and maintained our current number of clients, we wouldn't feel so much pressure. So you're in the right place if you're in any one of those categories, which I'm imagining is just about most of you, if not everyone on the line. And so just before I bring Kim on and we rock and roll into this, here we want to be really clear about what we're going to talk about today. And by keeping this call interactive, you can certainly hold our feet to the fire on that. But here are the points that we're going to cover very specifically. So number one, we're going to talk about specifically the challenges around raising coaching fees and specifically what stops you from doing it. So that's number one. Number two, we're going to talk about the psychology behind why people in general pay for premium price products and how to apply that to your coaching practice. And if you think about it, despite the economy that we're in, and I know times are tough right now for a lot of people, but I'm willing to bet that every single person on the line knows people who are buying luxury items, perhaps knows coaches that are generating a lot of business or knows business owners that are doing really, really well. We certainly do. So there's people out there experiencing their clients paying consistently and paying a premium, and we're going to talk about that. And then third, we're going to talk about the mental shift you need to make to not just go to your website and change a number of what you're charging, but to change your beliefs in a way so you are truly attracting the types of clients that are going to pay your higher fees. And then lastly, we're going to specifically tell you the tools you need to incorporate into your coaching practice to support and justify your higher rate. So those are the four things we're going to cover in detail. And lastly, our commitment to you is twofold. When you leave this call, you will know the key steps to start charging more money right away for your services and get those clients to pay it. And secondly, we're going to give you as much as we've got in the next 70 minutes or so, and all the time that we have. But we know you're going to want more. There's just so much we can give in that time frame. So our commitment is that we'll certainly tell you how you can get more. So that's what we're going to cover, and that's what we're going to give you. We're excited. So let's jump into it. So welcome, Kim Addis, to the call.
Hello, hello. Thanks, Mark. That was a great start to our teleseminar.
So I want to jump into this really quickly, but I thought it would be interesting, Kim, if you're okay with it, I'll invite everyone to keep their lines open. If you've muted yourself, come back on. I'd love to hear from maybe just three or four women first and then three or four men, coaches on the line. We want to know what you're charging. So you don't have to tell us your name. And even if we recognize your voice, don't worry. We just want to know what people are charging out there. So tell us what you're charging and over what period of time. So $2,000 for 6 months of one-on-one coaching. So I'd love it if just three or four women to start with would speak up on that.
I can speak $500
an hour, $18,000 to $20,000 for 6 months.
Okay.
I'm just starting, not yet certified, but I already have five clients. But my rate before I get certified, it's $150 a month for 3 months, half-hour sessions. Then I go to $250 once I'm certified and $300 once I'm master level. That's for life coaching.
$2,250 for a 15-week engagement.
You say $2,200 for 15 weeks?
$2,250.
$2,250. Okay, great. One or two more women, and then we'll go to a couple men. Anyone else want to share?
Sorry, Mark. What was the $2,250? How long was that?
15 weeks, $2,250 for 15 weeks. And I'm sorry, last one. Go ahead.
I have two rates. Corporate clients is $200 an hour for phone, $250 face-to-face. And non-corporate clients, $140 an hour phone and $200 face-to-face.
Okay, super. Any men out there that would share the same thing, that'd be great. I know there's men on this call, by the way. Anyone want to share?
300 executive level per hour and 400 for CEOs.
Okay, great, thanks. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate everyone sharing. That gives us a good benchmark. So I want to bring Kim back. And let's start out. Kim, first of all, interesting information, and I know we'll reference that back.
Mark, would you repeat what people said? Because I couldn't hear it.
Sure. We've got everywhere from basically $150 a month all the way up to $500 an hour. We have a $2,250 for 15 weeks. So that's the range. So I think that's interesting. We'll get to that in a bit. But I want to bring Kim on now. And, Kim, I think it would be great if you could tell everyone about yours and our coaching practice, Frame of Mind Coaching, now. So talk about it now and then work backwards. So how many people is Frame of Mind Coaching and or you specifically coaching annually? Are they recurring clients? And then talk about your fees now and then when you started. So start now and then work backwards. I think it would be a great place to start for people.
Okay. So, I mean, from year to year, it kind of changes. And, by the way, we have five coaches in addition to me who now work with Frame of Mind Coaching. So we coach anywhere from 250 to 300 clients a year. And I would say probably around 75% of them are recurring clients. And what was the other question? What was my initial fee? When I started, and I'm happy to talk more about this, my first coaching group that I did, I charged them each $100 for 10 weeks. So that's where I started. What do I charge now? Personally, I charge anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 for 10 weeks of coaching.
Got it. So quite a leap that you've made over the last 4 years. And so really the meat of this call is going to be talking about how you've actually done that and how people can duplicate that. Let's also, I think it would be really compelling for people to know when you started Frame of Mind Coaching over 4 years ago, you weren't certified as a coach. So how did you overcome that? What was your thinking? Take people through that. And I think that'll be a great sort of launching pad as we go deeper into this.
Well, when I started, I wasn't certified, and I'm still not certified. So instead of being certified, I was terrified, which is the real answer. I mean, anyone who's a coach kind of feels that they would be good as a coach. They just have that instinct, and they start to take action towards either being certified or trying themselves out. And what I did at the time is I thought, you know, I mean, Frame of Mind Coaching is based on the principle that most people know what to do to achieve their goals. They're just not doing it. And so if we could start to understand what it is that stops them and help them get past that, then we could really help them. And so at the time, I was doing quite a bit of work in real estate, and that's a perfect industry to examine that specific theory in. So there are all these real estate agents in the real estate industry who aren't producing and who are really, really struggling. And so that's where I started, and basically I went to a friend of mine who was working at one of the largest companies in Canada, real estate companies. I said, I have this idea. We have all kinds of coaching out there in real estate that teach people how to sell real estate, and I don't think that's really helping. I think what we need to do is really get into their mindset and understand what she said. Okay, I'll give you people to coach. And at the beginning, I didn't have any experience. It was a shot in the dark, so I said, okay, I'll call it a pilot. And I called it a pilot so that, you know, if you call it a pilot, you're allowed to make mistakes and people kind of know what they're getting themselves into. So I felt better about it, and I jumped in head first. There were some things that kind of concerned me, right? So I was trying something new for the first time, and I thought, okay, well, these are the things that are important to me. Number one was it was important to me that I was effective as a coach. So I didn't just want to coach people for fun. I really wanted to make an impact and make sure I was doing something positive for them. I wanted to make sure, and I knew how it would work because all of these people were all across Canada. They had to be on a phone call. I needed to make sure that the phone calls were engaging. I wanted to make sure that I was equipped from an expertise perspective to address any questions or challenges they gave me. And I wanted to provide an emotionally moving experience so that, you know, they would walk away going, that was amazing, that rocked my world, and I want more, and I'm going to go tell everybody I know about it. So that was really important to me. And what I wanted to do was create a process that I could duplicate over and over and over again. So that was what I was thinking up front. And so, again, I'm going into this really, really blindly, and I thought, okay, how am I going to do all that? And really, what am I going to talk to them about for a whole hour? How am I going to fill that hour? And so the first thing I decided was to create a group so that everyone could talk for a bit and the hour would be filled. I mean, that was then. That has really changed over time. But I thought if everyone talks for a few minutes, then I'm safe and I'm covered. The second thing I thought is, how will I really get to the meat of their issues? And I made a decision, and I'm a person who journals, and I thought if I could just read their journals and see all the stuff that they're grappling with, then I could get in quick and really help to move over those big boulders that are standing in their way. So I decided that I was going to ask them to journal for the duration of the coaching period in a way where I could see the journal. So I would literally give them journaling questions or assignments, and when they could answer those questions, that I could see what was really going on behind the scenes, and I would use that for my coaching calls. And again, I was working with a bunch of real estate agents, and I didn't have any real estate experience, so I thought, okay, I want to have a backup coach to work with me. And I hired someone who was a more traditional type of coach who did, you know, the how-tos of selling real estate to be my backup. And so whenever I didn't know an answer, in the back of my mind, I thought, okay, well, I'd say, what do you think, you know, other coach? And he would chime in. And then, again, I started off with a very, very low price because I wasn't really sure what I was doing. But that was the beginning. Those were the roots of Frame of Mind coaching. And what I discovered along the way was that the content that I was receiving from the journals was absolutely incredibly mind-blowing, rich, so satisfying for the client and for me. It was what created the content and the ability for me to really, really help people. That was part one. Part two was that the group really mobilized as they got intimate with each other because we allowed them to read each other's journals. And the kind of coaching I was doing was really turning them on as opposed to the other more traditional kind of coaching. So all of those pieces in place, but particularly the journaling, helped me to see the change that they were experiencing and just understand that I was onto something.
Right. So let's go right to the pricing again. So it's just been really amazing to be a part of it, to see the pricing. And when we look at it in black and white, you know, what a difference. We went from $100 a person to $1,800 a person now is what we charge for group coaching over 10 weeks. And from one-on-one, I know you started out charging $1,200. Now you're $6,000 to $10,000. So let's start to get into it. Now, what do you suggest are the typical challenges of raising your coaching fee? So what is it that stops people from doing it, or that maybe they go to do it and it prohibits them?
Well, you know what? I hear all kinds of objections, and actually heard one right on the call right now. One of the things that we heard, the person who says, well, I'm not quite certified, so until I get certified, I'm going to charge $150 a month. I don't know who that was. I don't want to name you. I have no idea what your name is, but there you go. And what you're really trying to say is, I'm not experienced enough, but we'll get into that in a minute. Typically, the challenges are when we think about it, we start to put up objections. Number one, the economy is tight, and it's difficult for people to part with their money. It's hard for me to ask for their money. That's a hard thing to overcome. Facts are facts. Look at the news. Look at the papers. Market's tight. Nothing I can do about that. Got to live with it. Got to adapt. And just charge lower prices. The second thing is competition, and it's the fear of if I raise my prices, they'll go find someone else who will charge a lower fee and will, you know, maybe even not even go to coaching. Maybe they'll find some other alternative altogether. Number three is, and I see this a lot, coaches look at their own financial situation and they say, well, I can't afford to charge premium prices and risk the loss of a client because I just need to take anything I can in order for me to eat and survive. And so that causes a problem. And then the other big one is most people, while they want to try to raise their fees, they don't know how to substantiate it. They don't know how to justify the increase in price. And they don't know how to put those pieces together to say, here's the value that you're going to be getting. And somewhere in the back of their minds, they question their own value and what they're giving to the client and go, wow, I'm charging a lot. I don't know if I'd pay for something like that. It's just a lot of money. And then the last thing, and this is just a, you know, not all coaches are like this, but I find a lot of them are. They're uncomfortable about asking. Where money comes into play, somehow they just shut down. They get nervous and uncomfortable, and I mean, they're not comfortable asking for money to begin with, but asking for more, forget it. So those are the challenges right there.
Yeah, and just talk a little bit more about that last one, that discomfort, because you're right, and I know there's a handful of people on the line that are really super comfortable with that, which is great, but in our experience, in my personal experience, and I talk to dozens of coaches every week, most are uncomfortable. How did you get comfortable with that? Just talk a little bit more about that. I know you're going to talk about more later, but I think that's a big one that would really help people.
Well, for me, one of the things that created comfort for me was more confidence. So where does more confidence come from? It comes from knowing exactly what they will experience as a result of the coaching and exactly the kinds of results that they will walk away with as a result of the coaching. So if I'm on a phone call with someone and I tell them with absolute certainty, you will have a life-changing experience, and I'm telling you that with every ounce of my being, then that translates, and that's not difficult for me to do. It's easy for me to do because I believe it. And so that belief system is really critical to my being able to ask for anything from any client, anytime, any place, anywhere. On top of that, the description of the process is, because it's process-driven, I am describing the value they get. And in that description, they can understand and tangibly see, hear, and feel the amount of value that they get. And so the price is really easy to justify. And so results on one hand, process on another hand, and that conviction. And the conviction comes from, I've seen so many people go through the experience and walk away totally blown away that it's easy for me to say, this, you will be blown away, no question. And so they are compelled, and that's really part of it, is I'm convinced that they will be blown away.
Right. So take people through the mindset of when you first started out, and from what we see so often from either new coaches or coaches that are struggling with raising their fees, take people through those items, those values, those thoughts that wreak havoc with their service offering, those things that really stop them from moving it.
Right. Okay, so number one, as we heard, I don't have enough experience, or my experience isn't relevant. And you know what? My own view on that is all experience is relevant, and it's just a matter of how you bring it to the coaching, and it's also a matter of how you position your experience. So that issue of I don't have experience comes up all the time. It came up right here on this call. I have to charge less because I'm not certified. There's a logic in there that slows you down. So that's number one. Number two, again, I'm not certified. I don't have the credentials. And so I don't have credibility, and I need those letters behind my name to have credibility. And credibility comes from your conviction first. And people miss that, and they think that the credibility comes from, you know, the degrees that they have. That couldn't be further from the truth. I you know, how many PhDs that we meet who have no sense of passion or no sense of belief. And, you know, there's a big disconnect there. So the letters don't mean a thing. Number three is they think, I'm not a salesperson. I hate asking for money. I just want to help people. I just wish I could do this for free. And so the leaning on the side of helping is good. Asking for money or you know, being financially oriented or business oriented isn't good. It's bad. And so that dichotomy creates a problem. The next one is that I'm not 100% sure that I will really be able to help them. There is really no guarantee. And so coming into any kind of coaching arrangement where you have that doubt in your mind absolutely slows you down. So you have to have conviction that comes from a source of a solid state of, how do I explain it, a solid state of knowledge that you're really going to have an effect that is tangible and concrete that you could point to. And the last one is, I'm not very well known. I'm not a wheeler dealer. I hate that insincere networking that we're supposed to do. Not sure where to go or even how to turn, you know, one of those networking events into a sales opportunity. So they're out of their element. It's like swimming in this pond where they don't see any borders and they sort of start to get lost in the fray. And I see that a lot with coaches. While they're social on one side, they're not sales social. So, you know, they want to have polite conversation and not get to the point.
Yeah, and we talk about this with our coaches a lot. And, you know, really, one of the ideas, just so everyone knows, while we put this call together, is we have this conversation often with our Frame of Mind coaches. And Kim and I were talking the other day and about our fees and where they've come from, and we thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if we knew then, when we were just getting started, what we know now, and could position ourselves both mentally and with the right tools to start charging higher fees right off the bat, because that would have made a significant difference, I know, for you, Kim, and for me when I joined you, and then for the rest of our team early on. So we can do that, but it just takes the right positioning. So let's move into that. People, we talked about it up front, or I talked about it up front, that people are paying premium amounts of money for premium price products all the time, even in a down market. And everyone on this line has experienced that and has witnessed that, has seen that. So talk about the conventions of premium price products. Why are people psychologically willing to pay more despite the economy?
Okay, so number one is prestige, right? So if I see something as being prestigious and I'm associated with that, I'm willing to pay for it. And really that's a function of the way the brand has positioned itself. So if take a Porsche, for example, or some fancy car, right? It's a car. A car is a car is a car. Well, maybe not for everybody, but for me. And what they've done is they've positioned themselves as a premium brand product. And if I see someone driving around in a Porsche, there's a meaning attached to it. So that positioning becomes critical. So positioning is a higher premium branded product. The second one is reputation. And what that means is that they're clean. Their customer satisfaction levels are extremely high from past clients, and that doesn't mean to say that they never make a mistake. They do, but mistakes are very, very quickly cleaned up and accounted for. So they make up for their mistakes. They go back to their clients and do double or do triple in order to say, I'm sorry for that mistake. So their reputation is clean and impeccable. The third is that they give obvious value. What does that mean? It is a luxury item. There are perks. There are bells. There are whistles. They get more. It feels good. And they feel like they're taken care of, and they bask in the glow. So, that obvious value is important. Number four is the service. They get top-of-the-line service. They get immediate attention. They get constant attention. They get attention when they don't necessarily even ask for it. So, over-the-top service is very, very important. And it's an interesting question is how do we really give service and coaching without selling our souls? And that becomes an interesting conversation we can have a little bit later. But service is important. The next one is quality. And what I mean by that is that the results are guaranteed. And they have proof that they're getting a good product. So what am I going to get at the end of this experience? What am I going to get at the end of coaching? If I go and buy a Porsche, what am I walking away with? Am I walking away with a K car or a Porsche? I'm walking away with a Porsche. It's tangible. I can see what I'm getting for my money. And the last one, and this is really interesting, that the experience, so as coaches, we give an experience to our clients, but it's important that the experience elicits an emotional reaction, a good, positive emotional reaction that is easily recalled. And that recall is very important. So it's awesome if it's kind of like going on a roller coaster ride. You go through it, it's an emotional reaction, it's great, it's wonderful, it's awesome, but later on it's not easy to re-experience that situation when you're just at home hanging out. And what we want to do is create something, a situation or an experience where they can easily feel that again over and over and over again.
Right, perfect. So a question that comes up often is, okay, there's people out there willing to pay. I get that. It's happening. I can embrace that. That gives me some hope. But, I serve a demographic that doesn't make a lot of money. I serve maybe single moms or whatever. So how do you respond to the person that is serving a demographic that, by definition, perhaps isn't making as much money as the Fortune 1000 CEO? From a positioning standpoint.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know what? Here's an interesting thing, and it's perhaps we start off with a language issue, is that when we talk to coaches, we say, what do you do for a living? They say, I run a coaching practice. And for me, that's an interesting response, because what are you doing? You're practicing coaching. You're not doing coaching. You're not running a coaching business. You're practicing coaching. You're not actually in it. You're still just practicing. And I think that a lot of times when people get into coaching, they don't have a business mindset. They don't think, okay, I'm in a business. They think I provide a service and I do it individually. And so the real big switch that needs to take place is I don't run a coaching practice. I don't practice coaching. I run a coaching business, and that is my expertise, and that is not only my expertise, that is the expertise of my company. And so we have to have a company mindset rather than a practice mindset, and that's a huge shift that takes place, needs to take place.
Yeah, so that was, and you already got into it, and I don't know if you have any more you want to say about that, but that point is really when you and I go back and we analyze how we started increasing our fees and what made us feel comfortable doing that, we talked a lot about that is we need to be anchored that people are going to pay this, that we're worth it, and that this is a business we're running, and we're going to produce people a very specific result. And so that mental shift, in my mind, is one of the keys to this price increase. And I know people want tangible stuff in terms of, you know, how do I go about doing this, raising my fees? But in my mind, Kim, that is one of the most critical points. So that mental shift, is there anything else you want to elaborate around? Because I think it's crucial.
For me, so the mental shift is going from having a practice to a business, but then what is it that creates a business, right? So you can take a step up from practice to business once you start to see that what you really are doing is developing, creating, and selling a process that is duplicatable. So you need a system to support your process. So a lot of people say, how do you hire five coaches? How do you know if they're going to be doing a good job? I have a process that I use where I can, A, train them. So the training is important. I can test them to make sure that they're up to speed and representing me and my brand properly. And the third part is I can always double check and check in. And I provide to them a very structured, detailed process that they take and implement where their own personality and their own coaching skills come into play, but they're functioning in a way where they are leaning on the process and the principles and all of that stuff. So that becomes really important, duplicatable process. That's when you go from a coaching practice to a coaching business.
Yeah, that's perfect. That really nails it. And if I could add one more point, I remember when I joined you, when you trained me in that I could take that, and when I was talking to a coaching prospect, the ability to be able to articulate that process, so take people through what's going to happen, which basically was about sharing the credibility of what we're going to do and the value they were going to get for their investment. And then once I shared the process, it was very easy to say with conviction, and as a result of all that, here is the outcome that unquestionably, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're going to get. And because I could say that with conviction, that whole process really helped me gain the confidence to increase my coaching fees, and that's what we've subsequently taught all of our coaches. So I think that is really, really valuable information. And I want to stop, and there's a bunch more we got to cover, but it's halftime here. And we promised we'd open this up, and we've covered a bunch of information already, but I'll start with the women just to try and monitor not too many people talking over each other. Is there anyone on the line, any women on the line, that have questions about anything that Kim has covered so far or that she can elaborate on?
One of the dynamics that I've found is that my female clients, even if they're in corporate, try and negotiate. And I know it's part of, you know, a bigger picture of females sometimes not being able to value ourselves and each other. So I'm wondering how you overcome those objections. I typically stick to my fee. I let them know the value they're getting out of the coaching, particularly if they're a client who's been with me in the past and are calling for a tune-up, so to speak. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And the work, by work, I mean sometimes they contract for the additional services, sometimes they don't.
Okay, so let me try to answer that question. We have absolute over-the-top raving fans, which is the reason why we have such a return of people who come back for more. And when they come back for more, and I'll kind of lay this out a little bit, they come in at one level, and when they come back for more, they're going to another level of coaching, a higher level. So they might come in and do one-on-one coaching, and then we put them into a more senior coaching structure with a group of people who are already who have already been through one-on-one coaching as well. So we create levels for starters so that there's somewhere else to go next instead of just, okay, I'm going to continue or it's a repeat. I'm a big, big believer in a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so for me, that's important for a number of reasons. Number one, as a coach, we get tired, right? So we need to have an end. And the next part is they need to see an evolution from the beginning of their time with you to the end of their time with you, which they can measure and kind of tangibly see. But to go back to your question, how do I deal with those objections? I say, you know, let's look at some of the past experiences of other clients. And it's undeniable. You can ask anybody, any one of my clients, and they will tell you how blown away they were. They will tell you that they waited too long to get into coaching. And not only that, they get in and they never leave. And so that's the way I talk. And it's the truth. And there's not a single stitch of stretch in that. And so, you know, basically I use the facts that I have to work with, which is other people's experiences, to justify that, if that's ever an objection. And the other thing I also do is I talk about what will happen if they don't do anything, right? What does status quo look like? And very often I can't live with status quo. So they know they need to make a move, and so I go down the road of, you know, what does that look like if you keep doing what you're currently doing? How does that affect you, right? How does that affect your health? How does that affect your family? How does that affect anything? And so they kind of realize no movement isn't an option. Does that answer your
awesome.
Question?
Does that help answer your
sure.
question?
Great perspectives on it. Thank you.
You're welcome. So in the interest of time, I'm going to come back to questions because there's a bunch more we got to get to. So everyone sit tight. We'll get to your questions. We talked a lot about mindset. So let's move to the tools. So first of all, Kim, when Frame of Mind Coaching started, you already shared up front, you decided that everyone would journal. Why did you do that? Just start out with your thinking behind that and then talk about the impact that journaling component has had on the pricing and the ability to increase prices specifically.
Okay, well, the first thing I could do is just talk about myself. I've always journaled, but I always journaled more when something bad was happening in my life because it was a way for me to just kind of regain my balance and keep my head above water. And specifically, one of the times that took place was I was married for 15 years, got divorced, and I journaled, you know, morning, noon, and night just to keep breathing, really. And so journaling has always been part of me, who I am, my personality, and my way of managing and making sense of things. And also keeping myself focused on where I'm going rather than sometimes where I am, which isn't always where I want to be. So, A, I'm a journaler. B, here's the deal with journaling, is that as a coach, when I can see what's going on with my clients, I am dramatically more informed and able to help them. It's hands down, and it's absolutely astonishing how much more data and content I receive from my client that enables me to help them. The next part of it is I never lose momentum in between my phone calls. Never, ever lose momentum because they're journaling in between calls, so that means the conversation continues. So many coaches say, well, the magic happens in between calls. Yeah, well, guess what? You're not there in between calls. And so you have to find a way to be there in between calls and continue their attention on themselves. And if they're working on themselves because of you, the likelihood of their success dramatically increases. And so that journaling process helps that to keep that going. And I mean, there's never a time in most people's lives when they get that degree of attention and focus on themselves. And if you're the creator of that experience, that is absolutely a wow experience for them. There's no question at all. So for me, the journal helps me be a better coach, and that's really, really important. B, it helps me create an incredible experience where they are literally writing down for you what's going on, but also tracking their change. So, you know, one of the challenges for coaches is, how do you prove the effect of your coaching? Well, for me, that's very easy. Let's go back to week one, and now let's look at week 10 and look at you. There's such a dramatic change from week one to week 10. I don't have to prove it. You've proven it, and you've done all the writing too, all the documentation. And so that shift is in writing. It's visible, it's tangible, and it's obvious, and it's evidence that they create for me. And then the last part of it is that through the journal, after 10 weeks are over, I ask them to continue journaling. Why? Because then I keep in touch with them, and I can continue to read their journals every once in a while and peek in and find out if maybe they need my help again. So I am constantly in touch with them, and that right now, at this point, the system that we use allows me to keep in touch frequently and easily, and so they never actually go. They might go for a month or 2 months or even a year, but they always come back, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, and an extra point on that, because a lot of natural questions come from, well, geez, you know, I'm working with a handful of clients. If I'm now reading, responding to journal entries, wow, I'm spending a lot of extra time. But it's not the case. Most coaches, I'm willing to bet just about everyone on the line, will spend 15, 20 minutes or more before a call or a session reviewing last week's notes.
Right.
And we don't have to do that because we've been by their side with the journal. So we simply take that chunk of time and reinvest it during the week or during the month. And as a result, we've got more information than ever before, so we can be more effective coaches. And again, that attention, that experience, the perceived value from the client's perspective is dramatically higher because they're getting so much more additional attention than they would be traditionally. So we can literally say, going back to pricing, listen, the traditional coach is going to work with you for an hour a week or a couple of hours a month. We're literally going to be interacting almost on a daily basis.
Right. So then they see tangibly and visibly the amount of value that you're adding to them, and then they say, wow, that's an easy price for me to justify.
Right.
Easy. I see it. It's clear. It's not, it's not like, oh my God, I just paid $500 for this 1 hour, and I walk away and go, wow, that was a lot of money. Now what? There's always a now what, and there's always a what's next, and they're never left alone with that thought.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think it's really neat that there's a lot of executive coaches now that have been using journaling with their clients, and for a lot of executive coaches, one of the questions we get is, you know, what about my high-powered executive? You know, how are they going to feel about that? And they love it because it allows them to experience the coaching, get the benefits from it on their own schedule. So I thought that was a point worth making as well. So, you know, just to be really transparent here, the software program we built that we use with our clients is called Journal Engine, and it has been the key factor in helping really, Kim, you, me, our coaches charge five times more or more than that from what we used to when we started. So, you know, a question for you is this applicable to other coaches regardless of their coaching niche and where they're at in their business?
I think it's 100,000% applicable. It's actually crucial. So we're using this system to create duplicatable process. Can anybody else use this system and uniquely brand it to themselves with their own process? Yes, 100,000%. And they need to start thinking about something like this, if not this, something like this, in order to go from having a coaching practice to a coaching business. So it's not only doable, I think it's critical. And it's critical for us as an industry to stop playing low. It's really critical. And for us to kind of mobilize together and go to another level in terms of service and professionalism. Really important. I don't know how much more bigger to say that.
Yeah. And actually, there's such a great story you talk about a colleague of ours in Toronto. Her name's Lee. I don't know if she's on the line, but Lee has a great story about increasing her fees. Do you want to share that or get her to speak up?
Well, Lee, are you there? I think she is. Lee, if you're there and you're on mute, press *6 because we want to hear your voice. Lee, is that you?
Okay.
Lee? Are you there? Okay, well, I know that Lee had trouble getting onto the line because apparently Bell Canada has created a problem with this number, but I think she is on the line. And here's the story of Lee, and for me, it's a really interesting story. Lee is actually the director of the Career Development Department for the Rotman School of Business, which is at the University of Toronto and the MBA program there. And we met Lee at the ICF conference. I was speaking there, and she was in the audience, and she came up and spoke to me after. And now the MBA program is using Journal Engine for coaching their new coming MBA students in the area of their career development. So the minute they get accepted to the MBA program, they go through a 9-week coaching program that Lee created, and the idea is to help them start thinking about what they want to do with their lives after the MBA program is over and how they're going to manage the process of MBA and what kind of career they want and where what that looks like and et cetera. The idea being that the better clarity they get out of that vision, the better the match they will make after their MBA period is over and the higher value the Rotman School of Business has as an MBA program. So that's Lee's initiative. The interesting thing about Lee is that she also coaches. So she has a slew of coaching clients in addition to her position at Rotman. And we had a conversation at some point, and she, after the conversation was over, she increased her prices by $1,000, and she said, I'm still not ready to buy Journal Engine, but she sold it and then had to come back and say, okay, I sold it. I have to get it now, fast, fast, fast. And Lee, are you there? Not there. In any case, she is a user of Journal Engine software, and as a result, her prices increased by $1,000 for that same 10-week period. So she went from, I think the original charge was $1,500 to $2,500, and she did it in one jump. And so, you know, that's a good jump from our perspective, and that's instant value added. And why? Because she was able to point to the process and say, here's what you're going to get when you coach with me. And it was easy for her to do. Her confidence was there, and it was a no-brainer. Really, it was a no-brainer. I wish she was here to speak for herself, but in any case.
Yeah, well, it's a great example. And, you know, I think the other thing to hit on here is we talked a lot about the process and the mental shift and the fact that 75% of Frame of Mind coaching clients are recurring. I think it would be wonderful to explain to people how Journal Engine software, we leverage that tool to influence that number, to really make that number reality. And I think everyone on this line would agree that if you just got the people that already loved you to keep buying your coaching services, life would be easier. And it took us a little bit to figure that out, but we've been doing that now for a few years, and life on the coaching side of our business has gotten much easier. So I think it'd be great for you to share that with people.
Well, I think, first of all, I don't really know how it happened, but people feel like they belong to the Frame of Mind coaching family, and we love that, and we keep that going. And one of the things that we do is after they're finished their 10 weeks, we give them journaling assignments to keep journaling. And if they're part of a group, they still want to keep in touch with their group members. And as they're journaling, some of them journal publicly, and so they communicate with each other. So they're always there. They're always there and coming back for more and know that this is a place where they get to work on their stuff. And even if they go away for a little bit, we're dropping things into their inbox saying, here's a journal theme to be writing on. And so they get triggered and come back in. So they're close by. So that's number one, is they keep in touch, and they keep, we keep in touch with them, and they keep journaling. And as they keep journaling, every once in a while we pop in and we read their journals and make comments, make suggestions, provide challenges, et cetera, and sometimes suggest a phone call about, you know, round two. And, you know, here's a leadership course we're creating. I think this would be perfect for you. We're hand-choosing a few people to come join this group. And so that sense of community is maintained, and that's really important. The next one is I journal on the site. So everybody tells you to blog, right? But when you blog, who knows who's reading your blog? But here there's a community that's built of people who already know and love you. And what's happening is they're knowing and loving you more intimately. So you share yourself on there, the highs, the lows, everything. And no matter what you share, you know, you get comments, you get feedback, you know that people are reading, and you're in touch with them in a really, really personal way. And that's very, very important. I'll tell you, like a couple of days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, I wrote a journal that just said, you know, I feel a little agitated. And what I'm going to do is just sit quietly and not really get into anything with anybody and create space for myself. And the response was overwhelming. And one person said, I'm so glad you said that. Thanks. You gave me permission to do the same because I'm also agitated. And so on and so forth. But and then another day I might write about, you know, a letter my daughter wrote that tells me that she thinks I'm the greatest mother on earth. So the range is really wide. But what's happening is I'm giving them my personality, I'm giving them my perspective on life, and they connect to it. And as they connect to it, they stay connected. And so that's really important. The next part is we advertise on the site. We put up banner ads and tell people what's coming next. So if, let's say, we run a course on relationships, we would put that up there, or parenting. And we send them teleseminar notices just like you got. Here's our next teleseminar. Here's the topic. Sign up. And we get, you know, an indication of who signed up and their contact information, and we keep in touch with them after that. Again, members receive weekly journaling assignments, and they're constantly pulled back into the site. And for us, it's a drip marketing campaign. But it's not a drip that says buy, 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 buy. It's a drip campaign that says here's a journaling assignment, and that to them has value. It's like we're constantly giving them something that matters to them. And it's always keeping us front and center for them, and keeps them engaged, and it keeps them returning, and it's good for everybody. And again, the coaching groups stay together. They want to know what's happening. They want to keep reading each other's journals. They want to meet without us. And because they're doing this on the phone and virtually, when we have a retreat or something like that, they're dying to meet each other in person. So there's a pull factor there. And then the last part is, you know, we're human, and that's part of this whole limitation as coaches, is that there are only so many hours in the day, and we want to try to find a way to leverage our time. And so now we're creating e-courses that are automatically delivered to clients. They purchase it. It's automatically delivered. It could be on any specific topic. It could be on finance or parenting or anything, and it's self-administered. And so we don't have to be there. We could sell thousands of them, and our time is not, we're not at the mercy of it. And so we're using the system in a multitude of ways. The other thing that we do, which I think is really cool, is we have an assessment that is attached to the system. And so our assessment is, it's called Assess Your Frame of Mind. And we ask a whole bunch of questions like, you know, how high is your level of stress and how happy are you in your life and what's your relationship like and so on and so forth. And it's all on a scale of 1 to 10. And they give us their contact information, but with that, we can go straight to them. And one of the questions we ask is, are you interested in having a conversation with someone from the company about coaching? If they say no, we leave them alone. If they say yes, it becomes a hotter lead. So we're creating processes to constantly, constantly have people raising their hands to say, I'm interested. So, I mean, we put this on our site, right? We allow people to come to our site and sign up for their free online journal. They're getting those weekly journaling assignments. And one of the things that happens is at the end of their journaling, there's a question that says, would you like to send this to a coach for review? And the minute they say yes, I or one of my coaches will receive their journal entry. But what they're really saying is, I need help, and I flagged myself that way. And so everything in the system is constantly creating an opportunity for them to raise their hands, and when they do, we're there to respond. So it's a really great capture mechanism. I mean, there's so much more, but there's only so much time.
Right. So in a nutshell, the system that we built is a is an online journaling tool that's password protected for each person. And we have three demographics of clients in our community. We have free people just journaling that turn into clients sometimes. We have current clients, we have past clients. And so we've got the journaling tool with those demographics. It's your own private social community, and it's a content delivery system which allows us to create and deliver e-courses and create new streams of income. So I thought it would be good to just share, you know, at the high level what Journal Engine really is. But as we circle back to the whole pricing issue, and the link is that between the mindset shift and the tool, specifically Journal Engine, those two components, specifically Journal Engine really giving us the confidence to shift our mindset, is really attributed to this dramatic shift in our coaching fees. And so I just wanted to be really transparent about that. So I'm getting we're gonna definitely take some more questions, but I've gotten a handful of emails, Kim, of people asking, you know, I want to know more. What should I do next? How can I see this platform? I want to talk to you to know if it's applicable for me. So let's put that out there for everyone, and then we'll take questions.
Okay, so, and I'll answer that in a second, but I want to add one more thing. This whole idea of having a business means you also have to have that prestige, that image. We talked about that a little bit at the beginning, and very often we don't have the look and feel that reflects the pricing we want. We don't have the technology in place. We don't have the systems in place. We don't have the e-commerce in place, and so on and so forth. And part of what this does is it helps us with that image. It cleans us up. It says, here's the process. Here's the look and feel. We're crisp. We're clean. We're upper level. So we are supporting that premium product look and feel. I've never said that. I've never talked about that, but I wanted to add that in. So then your question was, what do they do next? Here's what you do next. You got to see this. So we're talking about it. It's theoretical in your minds right now. You have to see it. So please send me an email. I want to hear from you. And you must say, ask for a demo. It doesn't cost you anything. Take a look at it. See how it works. See how it feels. Get a sense of what happens on the back end. I could really easily just send you there to sign up for your own journal, but you're not getting the administrative features that way. And so I highly, strongly urge you to send me an email, kim@frameofmindcoaching.com, and ask for a demo. No strings attached. It's free. It's easy. It's interesting. And if anything, it'll give you some really great ideas of what to do with your company from a really practical, tangible, I get it point of view. So do that. Send me an email. Ask for a demo. You have to look at it. The next thing is that I want to share with you that one of the things that our clients love about us is the amount of support they get. So, A, they get implementation support. We show them how to go through the process from top to bottom. We provide them with a whole load of video tutorials for every single aspect of the product and how to get your courses up and running and on and on and on. We're really, really responsive. And we mastermind with you. So every 2 weeks we have a call with coaches, get on the call and learn about how to market this thing, how to leverage this thing, how to create products. And one of my favorite parts of it is how do you read journals and respond to them in a way that, A, increases your sales but wows your clients every single time, and how do you know what's really going on between the lines? How do you really use this tool to be an incredible coach? And I love that part. I love the idea of getting everybody on the call, licensees who are doing all kinds of different coaching in all kinds of different places in the world, who are on the call and learning from each other and sharing. And I mean, it's amazing. It's just unbelievably amazing. I encourage you to ask about those things, too.
Perfect. Awesome. So Kim@frameofmindcoaching, just send a response. Tell her you want a demo. It'll be worth your time, we promise. So we talked a lot about raising your fees and the challenges and the why people buy premium price products and how to bring that to your coaching business, the mindset and the tools. So let's open it up. Anyone out there that has specific questions about their own business, about Journal Engine, about your fees, anything at all, we've got 15 minutes left, and we'd love to keep the line open to answer your questions. So fire away, and I'll moderate it as best that I can.
This is Daisy.
Hi, Daisy.
Hi. I have two quick questions, hopefully. One is, do you have a percentage of people who at the beginning look at the price, do that, just say no, and are you know, you kind of say, great, that's the percentage that say no. And also, what about those who say, I don't have the time for journaling, it takes up time, is there a specific way that you address that, or there's just a percentage that just aren't going to take the time to do that?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a little bit bold, and I'm a little bit courageous, or maybe a little dumb, I don't know. But here's what I say. I say, look, if you go to any coach and they do not ask you to journal, you're working with a coach who is ill-equipped to coach you. And I know that maybe that kind of created a gasp in on the phone. But the truth is that once you see the wealth of information that you're getting from these journals, you will be knocked over and say, how did I ever coach without this? And so I tell them, you know, you might not choose me, but whoever you choose, you need to make sure that they're asking you to journal. If not, they're functioning with not enough information to really, really help you. And so, and that's the fundamental message that I put across. And the other thing is I say, look, I'm an incredible coach, and there's tons and tons of proof of that. And in order for me to coach you really, really well and for you to really get the results you're looking for, I need you to journal. That's the deal we have here. I don't need you to do anything else. I don't need you to, you know, if I'm helping someone increase their sales, I don't need you to make a million cold calls. I don't need to look at what you're doing. I don't need to hold you accountable. I don't need to do anything. But what I really, really need to do is I need to see your journal, because I need to understand what the heck is going on in your head. And it's as simple as that. It's I don't coach you unless you're willing to do this.
Is that helpful, Daisy?
It really is. And what I'm noticing is my top clients that really, really have huge breakthroughs, we do talk a lot, but also they tend to journal on their own. And I don't look at their journaling, but we back and forth over email.
Right. So
yep.
There's
I'm wondering if that has something to do with it.
It absolutely does. But if you could see their journal, I mean, the effect would absolutely knock you over. And I'll tell you what else. There's a few parts. If a person is journaling, any human being is journaling, it's a helpful thing. Why? They're learning about themselves. They're figuring it out. They're doing their work, period, with or without you. But with you, holy smokes, the power associated with that is just tremendous. Just straight up from a coaching perspective. You know, forget all the other stuff that's happening from a marketing side, but just in terms of really being a phenomenal coach, wow, it's unbelievable. And
Brilliant.
It's unbelievable to them. You know, they get wow like six times a week, right, when they journal. And it's because of you. And they attribute it to you, and it's and the proof is in the writing. And it doesn't get any better than that. And I'm telling you, as a coach, you want to give them goosebumps. They're getting the goosebumps, but so are you. Really.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. And there's a certain percentage of time that they journal. Is it like half hour?
No, I don't ask for anything. I say one day you might journal for 5 minutes, the next day you might journal for an hour and a half. I don't care. Answer the question I ask you. And the question is important because the questions are lined up to tell a story, right? And as I get their story, everybody understands what I mean by that, then I can poke holes in it and identify the beliefs that are really troublesome for them and understand how their beliefs don't really correspond with their values. And I shed light on it because it's there for us to read together. So, you know, here's another interesting thing. Some coaches look at themselves and they say, I'm the mirror for the client. And I say, that's impossible because you come to the client with your own baggage. You can't be the mirror. But the journal is the mirror, and I can stand beside the client and we can look into the mirror together. Hello?
Right. Yes, that really makes sense also in light of brain science, too. It really does.
Right.
Awesome. Thanks, Kim. Who else? Questions?
I'm just curious. When I think of journaling, I've worked with journaling with my clients. I find that usually, because I'm not doing it the same way. I don't necessarily ask them specific questions, or if I ask them questions, they're more self-exploratory, and they may not want to share that information. And part of the beauty of journaling has been that they can write and not worry about anybody seeing it.
Right. Well, okay, so let me try to explore that. One of the things that we need to do as coaches in order to really, really help people is build rapport and honesty and get to those things, those hard-to-reveal things, really, really fast. And I find that, number one, and it's me, it's my opinion, so you can take it or leave it, but I find that face-to-face is really harder to do because there's, you know, maybe some skeletons in someone's closet that's hard to reveal, right? And they don't want to do it face-to-face. And sometimes people, you know, I find when I coach executive men, they don't always want to speak their sins, you could say, but it's easier for them to write it. And so what I find is, and again, it's a personal experience from a coaching perspective, that the journal helps us get there faster, and what we do is we create safe boundaries. So here's what I do, and this is over and above any product, but I say, look, you know, whatever happens here is between us, it's confidential, and I will make the promise to you that I will keep your stuff confidential, but I need a promise from you. And the promise from you that I'm asking you to keep is that you will keep my stuff confidential too. So I create an even playing field. That's the way I play. And the minute that I do that, and by the way, I'm journaling so they can read my stuff too, they feel safer that way. And so here's what's interesting to me. Like, imagine a journal that talks back, and you're the person who's talking back. And so they love it. They love the attention. They love the identification of things that they're struggling with. They're like, wow, this person. Honestly, I'm a really good coach, but with the journal, I show up as an awesome coach, as a over-the-top, better-than-anyone-else-in-the-world coach. And it's not that I am, but the journal equips me.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were also saying you have them read each other's journals. They don't have any problem with that.
Okay, so let me give you, clarify that. So when they're working in a group together, so let's say I have 5 or 10 people who are in a coaching group together, they read each other's journals, but only them, not every single person on the site, just them.
No, I figured that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Still.
And what happens is, so they're reading each other's journals, and they're commenting on each other's journals, too. So they build relationships, not only on the call, but in between calls. And they build a support structure, and the support structure stays even after the 10 weeks is over, and that causes them to keep coming back. So there's natural, like a magnet that keeps them coming back for more. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's around the trust.
Right. Any other questions? On anything?
Well, I'm sorry. That one question I had before, this is Daisy again. The one about, is there a percentage to just say no and that's fine?
You know what I find, and again, this is my perspective. It's always been my perspective on sales in general. And again, you know, maybe I'm a little more sales-oriented than most coaches, but my attitude is you will buy from me. It's just a matter of time. And so the answer to that is I've had people who have been on the fringes for 2 years before they said yes, and then once they were in, they just don't go away. So the idea is they say no, but we can see clearly that there's a need, and for me it's just a no for now. It's never really a no. And so my understanding is that, A, they need to get to know me a little more. They're still kind of new to them, and you know, there's a little more time for that trust to take place. And, B, I still need to do a little bit more work in terms of proof of concept, and that's okay. But what I see is that they keep coming back to hear the message over and over and over again. So, they show up. They say no right now, but they come back to the next seminar, right? And I don't view those people as tire kickers. I view those people as absolute prospects who are still in the decision-making mode. Because they're still dancing with me. And so, you know, again, you have to look at the no and decide what you're going to do with it. And it's not that you need to keep after them, but you have to keep them engaged in hearing about it in some capacity. You have to still keep in touch with them and put them in a bucket that says, okay, not a hot lead, but still in my visual range. Does that make sense?
Really great. Yes. Thank you.
Anyone else? Any other questions?
I just want to tell a quick story. There's one guy who literally for 2 years listened to every single teleseminar that I had, sat quietly in the background. Every once in a while, he'd send me an email saying, great teleseminar. And finally, I mean, at one point he said, I'd like to learn more about coaching. And he happened to be a real estate broker. And so I spoke to him. He said, oh, my God, you know what? I just can't do it. My company's about, I'm about to fold. And the timing is wrong and it's bad and on and on. 2 years later, he signed up for coaching. And he's been in it now for a while. And he's actually now getting ready to be one of our coaches. But what he said was, had I done it sooner, I would not have lost my company. I know that now, and I'm prepared to stand on the rooftops and tell everybody that they have to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has their time frame. Everybody has their pace. You know that as a coach, right?
Yeah.
And so they also have their pace in terms of buying. But if you walk away, the pace is gone. It's finished. It's over. You still have to be accessible somehow to them. And for me, the journaling software allows me to keep in front of them without, you know, sapping me dry of energy. And that's
mm-hmm.
important for you to manage.
So, again, Kim at frameofmindcoaching.com, subject line, I want a demo. Be how to communicate with Kim. Anyone else have questions for Kim about anything? You've done well, Kim.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Quieted the line.
I already got a whole bunch of emails for demos, and I'll get back to each and every one of you and schedule some time most likely next week. How does that sound? There's something I want to add, and it's over and above all of this. So there's a concept in software that's called open source. And the concept of open source software is that programmers share their programming language and whatever magical thing they do for the purpose of, as a whole entire industry, kind of augmenting or forwarding or increasing the quality and expertise of the industry. So they share their programming work and language. And they take bits and pieces and all together as an industry go to the next place. But there's an open source sharing concept. And typically we think about that in terms of technology. But what I want to do and what I have been doing is creating an open source coaching model where I am wanting to share any part of my business with anybody, how I do things, the questions I ask in the journaling, exactly, you know, how to respond to journals, the bits and pieces of the marketing and sales process, how I choose my coaches, how I certify them. Anything you want to know, I am more than happy to share. And so if there's something over and above just the contents of this call that you would like to find out more about, hear more about, teach more about, please, please reach out to me and let's open source together. So please do that.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, if there's not any more questions, I think that will be a wrap for today. We want to thank everyone for being here, giving us 74 minutes of your time. We will get back to everyone within the next 2 days who have requested a demo and get that scheduled. And like Kim said, we are here to open ourselves up and to collaborate with anyone and everyone who wants to do that. So thank you for your time, your interest, and we look forward to connecting with you personally one-on-one early part of next week. Hope
thank
everyone
you
has a great day. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.